welcome to another episode of the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on last week's two games against Falkirk and Dumbarton. We'll be previewing this week's two matches and we'll be looking at new signing Sean Wundt. I'm Colin Boyles and with me as always is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Yeah, not bad, Colin. Yourself?
Not too bad. A week's a long time in football, as they say. We sat here last week discussing, you know, lack of goals and lack of points, but all of a sudden we've now got 4 points on the board, or more than we had last week, and we've banged in 5 goals as well.
Yeah, credit to them. Got to admit, the Falkirk game, getting something for that sort of surprised me a little bit, and I got a lie. I struggled too far where we got a score, but created quite a lot of chances in the game, probably in the end. Can count ourselves unfortunate to win, and then obviously you touched on quite a few goals against Dumbarton, a 7-goal thriller.
Yeah, if you've got your cliche bingo card at the ready, we'll probably have one or two tonight. We've already had one there already, so just keep an eye out for more. But as you said, Falkirk game, we'll touch on that briefly because that was last week. But a very good 1-1 draw. Ryan Duncan opening the scoring in 9 minutes, and I think that was key for the rest of the game as well. It was getting that early goal.
Yeah, we've spoken a lot about conceding early goals. It's not often that we'll go away from home to a so-called bigger team and take an early lead. It was that classic goal, a bit scrappy, but I think it put Falkirk under pressure as well. Their form's now been great, a bit like ourselves, struggling for goals and picking up wins. But we got the early goal, and I think, as you said, it sort of set the tone for the rest of the game and made it difficult for Falkirk.
Yeah, it was, as I said, it was a really good performance, and it was a performance that we've probably seen quite a lot in the last 3 or 4 weeks, but without reaping any kind of rewards. Whereas this one, I think if you looked at the stats, you would have thought we were the home team and the full-time team, whereas, you know, obviously we were the part-time in Falkirk, and the full-time team, you just wouldn't have known the difference.
Yeah, you touched on it there. The performance has been there the last couple of weeks, but we've, you know, been a bit bemused by the lack of goals, getting chances, but I say we're creating chances. We need to get a dig on a goal often enough, and we did that on the Tuesday night. There was a few shots on target, and I think that was maybe the difference in terms of there was more an impotence in trying to get a goal, and I think the fact that Ryan scored early on, as you said, set the tone for the game.
And when Ryan did score, I mean, there was about 3 or 4 queuing up to actually put the ball into the net as well, which was good to see. Plenty of bodies in the box, and initially I was like, it was saved well by much in goal, but you know, Duncan was there and he fired it in.
Right place, right time for you expect for a inside forward / winger / striker that you're going to go for. But again, that's what you're needing for them sort of players. You're needing them to be smart on the ball and out of possession as well. When I got the ball, you're looking for them to try and create them chances. And as I said, he was in the right place, right time, and Julie put it away.
A good play by Kotongo doing the left-hand side. Again, it's something that we're seeing quite a lot of as well.
Yeah, we knew what he was going to be like when he came in. He's quite an attacking fullback, so I think we're starting to see the benefit of that now as well. He sort of came into the side and slotted in really well.
Losing a goal just on half-time as well, Dowd's free header kind of from the corner. But disappointing to lose that at that stage.
Yeah, we'll go for another bingo card cliche. Well, disappointing to concede a goal before half-time. It's standard. Disappointing. Sort of changes your manager's team talk quite a bit, I think, as well. If you go in 1-0 away to Falkirk, a lot of folk wouldn't have gained as much chance of being 1-0 at half-time, I wouldn't have thought. But overall, I think the fact that we came away for some of the games is the most important thing.
Yeah, and again, we've got to mention Brett Long, which, as we've done a few times this season, a couple of good saves from him as well, particularly one from Lee Griffiths' free kick. You might argue that it's a good height, but again, he's saved it well, he's pushed it away well as well. And then towards the end of the game as well, listed about 3 or 4 opportunities that we could have actually won the game in the end.
Yeah, I think the free kick, going back to that, as you said, it's an easy height, but he's got to make that save. Not only got to save, he's got to pat it away from, you know, players coming in. It's okay getting a hand to it, but you've got to put it away from the danger area. And yeah, we had a couple of chances towards the end. Just that decision making was probably lacking in the end, getting into what we've criticised the last couple of weeks when they, you know, players aren't getting the right position to take shots. I think there was a couple on the Tuesday night, just that, you know, killer ball to put into a striker or put into your teammate, and it could have been 2-1 up.
Yeah, Richie had one from about 18 yards. He's just trying to almost pass it into the far corner, the far post, I should say. Savory, one on one again. Maybe he'll look at that and he'll have opportunities like that again throughout the season, I would guess. And he'll probably either score or look for a pass. And as what you're saying about decision making, just that those little things is maybe just the difference.
I think when you're free flowing and you're scoring, you naturally make the right decision. But when things aren't quite going for you, you seem to maybe overthink it. I think it's like a split second, but you overthink what you're going to do. And I think that's a prime example on both, I think there's three incidents towards the end. Just that decision making. On another day, you make the right decision and you get up the road with 3 points. But as I said, I think getting the point from the board away to Falkirk, you know, can't be sniffed at.
And Richie hitting the post, the outside the post, right to death as well, would have just been a brilliant way to end the game.
I think it shows you that the players are disappointed. The performances have been there, like we said, but they're disappointed that they've come away with just a point for that game. Like I said, I don't think many people going into the game would have given Peterhead much of a chance. The fact that the players and the management team are disappointed to come away with a draw, I think it speaks volumes for them as well.
And having played on the Saturday and then played again on Tuesday, they look pretty fit as well. I think that was mentioned in David Nix's press conference after. He mentioned how good that the fitness levels was.
Yeah, fitness levels are really good. We've seen that the last couple of weeks, though, towards the end of the game. We seem to be the team that's trying to create the most opportunities, and I think that's credit to the coaching staff. They've got the players really fit. That we've mentioned a few times as well, it's a young team. I think we're starting to see the benefits of that now. There has been that swing in personnel, younger players coming in, and you're maybe just starting to see that style change as well, that towards the end of the game they can be the team that's on top pushing for the winner.
Yes, all in all, a very good performance again, lots of chances, as I said, and lots of possession as well, so hopefully that kind of bodes well for maybe, you know, this kind of crucial time of the season.
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, we've been critical of the fact that we've taken more chances, or the lack of creating good chances, and hopefully Tuesday night was the confidence boost that these guys needed, because they are good players, they can play good as a team. I think it was just one of them things that confidence breeds confidence, and I think we're maybe starting to see that as well.
Yeah, so on to Saturday's game then, Dumbarton. Another home game, which we've had quite a lot of in February, and once again, for some reason, Dumbarton have taken the weather with them. They took the wind, I should say, up the road. It did, I think, had a big impact. I think actually for both sides, you know, obviously it affected Dumbarton first half, and then I think it possibly affected us second half.
I think if there was ever a game, a tale of two halves, this was certainly it, to control that off your bingo card as well. I certainly think the wind played out a factor, just like they did when they were up, you know, before Christmas as well. And I think Peterhead just about adapted to the, you know, the best of the two teams, but taking that away from Dumbarton, you know, they put up a really good performance.
So there was a couple of changes from the side that drew on Tuesday. A new signing, Sean Want, was in, and so was Russell McLean. And Ryan Duncan was out through COVID outbreak at Aberdeen. And Jack Brown, he dropped down to the bench as well. So fairly straightforward changes. A more regular midfield three with Savory, Scott Brown, and Andy McCarthy in there, and Russell up top, but he had Nia Payne and Hamish Ritchie to his either side, I should say.
Yeah, and I think the formation worked. We spoke a couple of weeks back about the width you get with Ryan Duncan, and also unfortunately through injury, COVID, that meant he couldn't play. But I just felt that the shape of the team as well, it was more, you still had width, but it was more compact as well, rather than just two players biting out in the wide areas and leaving one striker up top a wee bit isolated. So I think the team came good, and also the arrival of one in defence as well for Jason Brown's injury. Thought he sort of done really well.
And once again, much like on Tuesday, what an ideal start. Hamish Ritchie scoring very early on through a throw-in. And as I said, it was the best possible start that we could have had.
Yeah, absolutely. we needed an early goal. I felt this is one of them games, the longer the game goes on, the more pressure you'd start to feel. So for a few weeks that this game was crucial. We had to get the 3 points, however we got them. I think backed up by that draw at Falkirk gave the guys confidence. Julie took an early lead and was worthy of it, I feel.
Yeah, and we'll come on to Hamish a little bit later on again, but you know, within, 5 or 6 minutes, it was 2-0, and we couldn't believe our eyes that we were 2-0 up and pretty much cruising at that time. McLean back in the side and back in the goals as well. And this one from a corner, and the corners we've been quite critical of in terms of the deliveries. This one was absolutely on the money, and even the one immediately before it was a good one as well. So again, we're reaping the benefits of these set pieces again.
Set pieces have been a bugbear of ours for a while now, and I'm sure it's been a bugbear of Jim's as well. That we've got strong players in the air. I don't feel we use that enough. You look at across the team, the height that we've got, quite a few players over 6 foot. So it was good that we finally took advantage. Great ball in by Hamish Ritchie. I think he used the wind as well, so I glided it in, and Russell Lee, a bullet of a header. It's got to be said, got a good bit of power on it. Difficult as well, I think, for him, because quite easy to put that well over the bar, but he sort of got his head over it, got the header down. But still, you know, under the bar, and yeah, took a 2-0 lead, and as you said, we couldn't really believe it at the time.
Yeah, and even at that early stage, I mean, chances were coming thick and fast. I mean, most of them were coming down that left-hand side again, which we mentioned at the Falkirk game, how well Quitongo was doing down that left-hand side, and he seems to be really coming into his own now in the last few games.
I think it's a good partnership, doing that left-hand side. With whoever he's playing with, there seems to be that good understanding that Tongo likes to go forward. He's very attacking, very good at his defensive work, but I think he naturally wants to attack. He's got a good left foot, gets to the byline, and 19 out of 10 will either pick out a pass or put in a good ball. So I think he's been a very good addition to the squad.
Yeah, and Naya Payne as well, a couple of chances for him. I think that this is a man who just needs one of these chances to go in. It was one from a corner. He was trying an overhead kick from inside the 6-yard box and just got too much on it and went over. And there was another one as well. So again, he just needs one of these to drop for him.
We've seen it at the start of the season. Him and Rusty linked up really well, goals and assists for each other. You're just now that Russell's got a goal again, you're just hoping that Naya can get himself in the score sheet, because he's done well the last couple of weeks. I think he's been one of our better attacking players without, you know, getting that reward with a goal at the end of it. But I'm sure it's coming. If he continues to work hard, it'll be difficult for Jim to leave him out of the squad.
And as we said a couple of weeks ago, I mean, it doesn't seem to be letting him down, the lack of goals. He just seems to be quite, he's happy to be playing, he's happy to be doing well for the team, and I think that's something that maybe spreads out through the rest of the team as well, just his general personality and character.
Yeah, we've spoken to Naya a few times, and he's a really good character. You couldn't tell whether you'd been beaten 5-0 or won 5-0. He's a very positive person. I'm sure that's what comes through in his football. Whilst he's not scoring, he's still trying to do his best for the team. He realises it's a team game, and like I said, I'm sure that if he continues to apply himself, Jim struggled to leave him with the squad, and I'm sure he'll get his reward for it as well.
The first red card then for Dumbarton was for Paul Payton on 35 minutes. It was a second booking. There was a little bit of confusion as to how it was a second booking, but having had a look at it again, he was actually booked initially during the I think it was the Russell McLean goal. In the aftermath of that, he was having a go at the referee, and then his second one, which was, no, it was not really any arguments about the second one. It was a fairly cynical tackle.
Yeah, no arguments with either yellow card. I'm really not much to say on it. He got the yellow card for what appeared to be dissent for the Rusty goal, for whatever reason he had an issue with it. And then I think when you're on a booking, you can't really make the challenge that you did. You're just asking for trouble. So yeah, I don't think the referee had much option really to send him off.
And then on 42, it was 3-0. We thought that was pretty much going to be the end of the game as a contest, really. But again, it was another well-worked corner routine finished off by Hamish Ritchie.
I think what I loved about that is that it's a completely different corner routine. It's not just one of them, it's thrown into the box and hope for the best. It's well worked. Got to admit, when I first seen it, I thought, oh, it's a short corner. Bit of a waste when you've got the tall guys up, but no, they worked it really well. Kept himself onside as well, like that's crucial. Quite easy, you can see these sort of things happening. The linesman flags were offside right in front of you, and you're a bit frustrated with the player. He's now got himself back onside. Hamish did, got himself onside and reaped the rewards and took a 3-0 lead.
And as you said earlier, Hamish being a bit like Naya, who's had plenty of chances in the last few games, just needs to want to go in, and then he gets himself two in the first half. And as we said last week, and I'd asked when I spoke to him last week as well, you know, I think him playing further forward is much better for the team and for him as well, because we're starting to see what we saw at tail end of last season from him.
I think Hamish was one of our best link-up players, which is why sometimes I get frustrated with the formation that's played, in terms of I feel like the strikers are a wee bit isolated up top. I think Hamish brings you that connection in midfield. I think he's really good behind the striker. I think that, to me, is one of his better roles. And everything seems to link up well. And now that he's got that goal and assist, I think he'll... You know, his confidence will grow. He did this last season towards the back end of the season. He got a couple of goals and it helped us push forward. I think that'll be the same again just now.
And with his confidence building as well, what we'll probably see is his want to try and take on players and beat players and do mazy dribbles and things like that might come back as well, which is something that we haven't seen too much of this season.
No, and that probably frustrates me because it... Hamish set the standard when he first came in. I think you mentioned he had 11 goal contributions via goals and assists when he did come in last January. So he's maybe not quite hit the heights he did last season, but now that he's got that bit of confidence again, confidence, as I said earlier on, it breeds more confidence, and I think that's where he will be more expressive, and I think that can only be a good thing for the guys around about him, like sort of Russell McLean, Ryan Duncan when he comes back, and obviously if you can get Niall Payne in the score sheet as well, you know, I think things are looking good.
Yeah, so as I said, it was 3-0 half time, we're playing against 10 men. You'd have thought that would have been pretty much it, but
too
as
easy.
I said, I think the win made a big difference for us in the second half. But you know, we've got to give Stevie Farrell, the Dumbarton manager, a bit of credit here, because he's gone in, you know, he's 3-0 down, do 10 men, it could have quite easy just to say, right, that's a shut up shot, let's try and they concede on him air. But I think they recognise the fact that they would have had the wind helping them. He's made two changes and he's changed it to 3-4-2 and he's really had a go second half.
Yeah, and as you said, credit to him, quite easy just to, as you said, sit back and say, look, damage limitation, try and get it with a 3-0. He's not going for that. He's trying to be brave. He's changed formation, brought in two players. But from our point of view, maybe just a slight little bit of complacency. It's just like 3-0 up, down to 10 men, Dumbarton. So it was maybe exactly what Dumbarton needed, getting back in the game with a goal. But from our point of view, you know, hugely frustrating.
Yeah, and before really Dumbarton got into it, Savory had a big chance to make it 4. Again, good play down the right hand side this time by Jack Brown, who'd come on for the injured Russell McLean. And just again, just trying to find that far corner, but just couldn't do it.
Yeah, he's not quite just settled in just yet. I'm sure that'll come in time. Again, he's one of them. Just needs a goal and an assist just to calm himself down. But yeah, like I said, I'm sure that's not too far away either.
And then Dumbarton get themselves back into it. That's obviously what we really didn't want at that stage. But McLean has picked up. Dumbarton's McLean, I should say, is picked up on a loose pass by Andy McDonald. And I don't want to be overly critical, but what we've seen of Andy of recent weeks and in the last month or so, he is liable for at least one of these errors a game, and it just so happens that this one has been capitalised on.
Yeah, when I see that on Saturday, you know, really disappointing to concede that sort of goal to allow them back into it. But when I look back, I just wonder if he could maybe get a wee bit more help for his teammates. I think if you're touching on Andy, I think positioning with his body, maybe just open up slightly and see if there's room about him. I think Brett as well, he can see up the park, he can see that there's a Dumbarton player running about him, just a shout or, you know, clear it or into touch or something. Just somebody gave him a wee bit of help. So yeah, whilst that, I think, you know, Andy will put his hands up as well. He was disappointed after the goal that for that chance that we'd conceded. I think he could maybe have gotten a wee bit of help for his teammates as well.
The old if in doubt, boot it out scenario comes to mind. But yeah, I mean, it's a really tidy finish in the end as well, because Brett has forced him wide.
Yeah.
You know, he was practically on the 18-yard line. And I think it was outside the 18-yard box as well. So, you know, it's a really good tidy finish for him in the end.
Yeah, good finish. It got Dunbarton right back in the game, as you said, at a time they didn't really want. I just feel for you're analysing the goal. I think, yeah, Andy will put his hands up and say he's at fault, but he could maybe have gotten a wee bit more help for his teammates.
And then, again, Dyer Payne, as we've been mentioned already, another chance for him. Good save down the for the keeper down low. And actually, in the end, I think Dumbarton keeper had one or two really good saves.
Yeah, a couple.
And it looked good then, despite the conceding four goals.
Yeah, I think he sort of, believe it or not, kept him in the game, even at 3-1. I think if another chance goes in to make it 4, I think it's at that point, even with, you know, with the wind in their favour, but down to 10 men, I think they would have struggled. Their keeper, he's conceded 4 in the game, but I think he was still a really good game.
And he's then had another double save as well, and again, I mentioned again, Nia Payne could have probably had a hat-trick himself on any other day. Save for Payne and then for Savory as well, and that was only about 75, so I mean, at 4-1, that probably would have killed it off, but as you said, he's keeping them in the game.
Yeah, like we said, Nia, he just needs one of them to go in the back of the net, and his confidence will be through the roof. But again, keepers pulled it off, and a couple of good saves.
And then right on, what, 80 minutes, Dumbarton, they get their second own goal from Derek Lyle, again from a corner. Derek really dealt with the first header really well. I think there's a back heel in there as well, and Lyle's tried to clear it, but it's kind of skew-whiffed off his boot slightly.
Yeah, not the best clearance for Dell, is it? Yeah, it's unfortunate, but a ricochet in there as well. But so I think we're starting to defend a little bit deeper at that point. Even at 3-1 up, came with a couple of chances, but you've just seen the back line dropping that 5 yards deeper, and probably on the balance of play in that 10-15 minutes leading up to their goal, you'd still, like Dumbarton were, yeah, I think they deserved it. So I'm trying to say, I don't think Pierre Heap did enough to try and, you know, when we're going forward, get the fourth, I think sort of brought on that little bit of pressure, even from the 10 men. I think we struggled to deal with a win towards the end of the game, and, you know, let Dumbarton back in at 3-2.
And at 3-2, I mean, we talked last week about, you know, the tension within the stands, and, you know, people really getting on top of the team. You just kind of thought, well, yourself, that, oh, right, here we go, we're going to really throw this one away.
Yeah, to be 3-0 up against 10 men, I think it had gone 3-3. There could have been a few choice words in the crowd. Thankfully, you know, that was not the case. But yeah, they made it nervy at 3-2 against 10 men. Should probably have been a wee bit more comfortable than what it was.
I think the sort of final nail maybe for Dumbarton's comeback was the sending off of McLean on 85. His first one, I think there's no doubt it probably was a booking. Again, probably another cynical challenge. But then within 2 or 3 minutes of that, he's got himself a second. This one happened right in front of us, and I've seen it's been debated by a few folks saying, yes, it definitely was. Some folks saying it definitely was. I'm one of opinion it probably isn't. But again, it's one of those where the referee, or McLean, sorry, has given the referee a decision to make.
I think a couple of years ago, it wouldn't have been a booking. However, like you said, he just committed a foul a couple of minutes previously and got a booking. I sometimes think it's fresh in the referee's mind. To come across your man like the way he did. I think you're leaving it open to the referee's interpretation and also his position. It can look worse than what it is. Like I said, a couple of years ago, I don't think it would have been a yellow card, but I think the way the modern game is now, that sort of challenge is, they wouldn't let you off as easy, is what they might have. It's one of them, had it happened in the first 10 minutes, I think you get a talking to, but the fact that it happens in the last 10 minutes, you're almost guaranteed to get a caution for it.
Interesting as well, I've seen somebody mentioned on social media that Dumbarton's had 5 red cards this season and they've all come from the same referee. McLean's one previously had been they'd appealed it and they'd won their appeal, so you don't want to sort of say that a referee's got it in for any team in particular, but to have him send off 5 players from the same team in one season is quite a start.
I think I remember something before Christmas. Did he refereed a game and there was 3 Dumbarton players got sent off? I seem to remember a tweet or something. Quite a few folk had mentioned it. They'd actually gone down to 8 men. Yeah, I mean, incidentally, he wasn't actually meant to be the referee as well. There was a change of official as well.
Aye, that changed on Friday,
So I'm sure Dumbarton weren't the best pleased to see that particular referee doing their game. They'll be disappointed. And it doesn't look good when a referee sent 5 players off for your team when he's probably maybe only done about 4 or 5 games, I'd assume, on that team as well. So, yeah, it doesn't bode well. Certainly a cause for concern if you're Dumbarton.
And then we finally get the game killed off. We thought we got the game killed off. Grant Savory finally getting his goal. Really deserves a goal based on his performance. You know, he'd a couple of chances. He smashed a free kick off the bar as well, first half. So really pleased for him to get back on the score sheet as well. And again, it was another tidy finish.
Really good. Took his chance well. Very easy towards the end of the game to try and be a wee bit more conservative. Like I said, 3-2 in the game. They're down to 9. Quite easy just to pass it about and try and keep possession. But Grant's trying to kill off the game. and thankfully, that was his thinking because we needed it. But a really tidy finish. Mentioned a couple of weeks back, composure, really key thing for a young man that he showed a lot of it there.
And then it's 4-3, into sort of injury time or just before injury time, and this one's come from us trying to break from their corner. They've got everybody up as you'd expect. I don't know if you class this as a mistake or if it's just unlucky that the pass that we're trying to make to get them on the counter attack was blocked or it was stopped, but from there the Dumbarton have then pulled another one back.
I think game management, we've spoken numerous times about it being a young team. I think the fact that we've seen the way the game's gone, 3-0, 3-1, 3-2, 4-2, just the fact that we'd gotten that fourth goal, I think that was the perfect time to say, right, now we'll keep the ball, now we'll just try and pass it about. They're doing it 9 men, it's the last couple of minutes. Just like game management, being a wee bit streetwise and smarter. We've tried to play the pass. Isn't it quite worked out? And it could have cost us in the end had it been 3-2 and you're trying that. But 4-2, just see the game out. A bit of game management would be needed for the more experienced players in the park.
It's the old Stuart Armstrong against England scenario, isn't it? Just get rid of it, play it in the space. Because you know that even if the Martin keeper gets it, there's only one thing he's going to do, and he's got to lob it back again. But 4-3, a lot of folk are sort of looking at each other going, oh, there's a possibility here, and a lot of injury time as well. And in the end, they could have actually equalised a corner right at the end as well.
Yeah, they could have nicked it with 9 men. We thought there was tension at 3-2 against 10 men. Can you imagine if it had gone 4-4 against 9 men?
In the
context as well, how crucial it was to back up Tuesday night's draw against Falkirk with 3 points against Dumbarton. Made hard work of it. I think from an outside point of view, if you see Peterhead were 3-0 up, 3-2, 4-2, 4-3, maybe then it doesn't quite tell you the story of the game, because I feel Dumbarton, even at, from where 4-2, they created chances. And they put us under pressure, but yeah, they could have nicked it right at the end and gotten a point.
Yeah, it was in the end. It was an entertaining game. If you were a neutral, it was a bit more heart in the mouth stuff if you're a Peterhead supporter. But the game very nearly didn't even happen. Right at the beginning, the linesman got injured during the warm up, so we were hunting for a linesman. And there was one guy who had volunteered, and in the end, I think he probably did as well as what you'd have expected. He certainly wasn't expecting to be running a line before when he turned up that day.
Yeah, and credit to him, because you know, you don't want to see games now going ahead, but I'd imagine if it wasn't for that gentleman coming forward, that there might not have been a game for us to be there. So, yeah, because it's difficult. There was a change of referee. There was also a change of linesman or linesperson. He did really well. You know, given the conditions, there was a. Again, these guys are fit. He's a slightly older gentleman. So, yeah, I think he did really well. Kept up with plays best he could. And like I said, if it wasn't for that gentleman coming forward, then I think we would have had a game. So, yeah, fair play.
And it just so happened that the sending off was right in front of him as well. And I think you said to me after the game, had it been the designated referee, had it been not a... It was clear, I feel he'd found it was there. Maybe he would have been a bit more stronger within that kind of incident, yeah. and maybe helped the referee a little bit. But, you know, he made decisions that there was nothing really other than that he had to make that you would have thought, oh, well, I think he's been influenced by, you know, being a Peter Eastwood.
Yeah, there was two players, McLean and didn't catch the other player at the time. They were sort of saying to the linesman at the time, you know, he hasn't made much contact and he's put his hands up. You can sort of see the linesman, he sort of shrugs his shoulder and just puts his hand out, as much as to say there's not much he can deal with. Like I said, if it was the designated official that's meant to be there, he might have said something at the referee's earpiece and it might have been a talking to. But yeah, like I said, credit to him. If it wasn't for him, I don't think anybody would have had a game on Saturday.
Yeah, again, a lot of good performances, but I want to pick out one person in particular, and it's Andy McCarthy. Again, another really good performance from him. He just seems to just get better and better as the season seems to be progressing. The more games he's getting under his belt, the more 90 minutes he's getting under his belt, the better he seems to be getting as well. And I thought, again, he was really good on Saturday. We talked previously, you know, last season and season before, but how key a role Simon Ferry had been playing in that sort of holding role. Andy McCarthy, and we maybe thought, well, we'd struggle to find somebody to fill in that role, but we now seem to be that Andy McCarthy has taken on that sort of role now, and dare I say, is he probably going to be even better than what Simon was at that time?
Yeah, he's done really well. I think we've come for a while now that Andy's a terrific player, really good going forward, but his defensive work as well, he's one of them players. And I mean this with the great respect, he knows his ability, and if he feels that there's a player that can do a pass better than him, he'll release the ball. It might just be, to Andy, it might just be a 3-yard pass, but then it allows someone else to play that 20-yard, 25-yard pass to get us in a better position. I think Andy's communication's improved as well over the last 2 years. I think before he might have been the person taking the instruction, but now it's good to see him giving out the instructions. He's quite willing to say, look, we need to be in a better position, we need to get back, we need to be American compact. So yeah, I think every game that Andy plays, he's going from strength to strength.
Yeah, just going to mention about his communication, you actually hear him more on the pitch now as well. He's not feared to do the talking. I don't know if that just happens to be that kind of role, because Simon used to obviously do it, but you know, maybe it's a case because he can maybe see the game a bit better now in that role.
Yeah, I think the position that he plays, communication, is a vital role, because like you just touched on there, I think you're absolutely right. He's got a really good view of the park, but he's close enough to the defenders as well that he sort of, to me, he's a bit like the glue within the team. You know, if he strays out of position too much, it can leave us exposed. If he just sits there, does have the graft. He's got a really good engine on him, so fitness wise, really, really good. And yeah, I think the way he's playing, he can you know, continue to have a really good season.
And new signing Sean Want on loan from Hamilton made his debut. Initially thought that he might have got it done prior to the Falkirk game. Obviously, things hadn't progressed as the way they wanted, but he came in on Friday and he did well. What did you think of his performance?
Solid. Got to be honest, I didn't think for a defender coming in, the fact that you kind of recall anything much about him, I think that sort of tells you he's had a good game. There's nothing really stands out. Didn't look like a player that had just newly signed, looked like he'd been with the squad for a couple of weeks, which is a good thing. He sort of bedded in really well. Know that he went to see the players on Tuesday before the deal was concluded. I think that showed a good commitment as well. He's willing to get started early, meet the boys, and I think that proved on Saturday. He's got a bit of an understanding now, Andy McDonald as well. So yeah, I think looks a fair unit as well, got a good height in him. Almost a similar sort of mould to what Jason is. So yeah, really good signing, and hopefully it benefits all three parties, Hamilton, Sean and us as well.
Yeah, 25 as well, so and lots of experience in the Premier League. Just been unlucky with injuries. I think he said post-match as well, he's had about three injuries this season. So as you said, it's an ideal scenario for him. Hamilton, he's still got a year left and he's Hamilton deal, so it's ideal for him to get game time that he probably wouldn't get at his parent club. Peterhead were looking for a defender, so as you said, it works out for everybody, and hopefully, when he goes back to his club, he's got to be prepared for a season in a championship. But for us, we're getting a player who's determined to do well as well.
Sometimes I'm not a fan of the loan system. It sometimes feels like you're developing other teams. Players, but I think on this occasion it's one of them deals that really suits everyone. Peterhead under no illusion. Obviously, he's still got 16 month left to his deal at Hamilton. He'll definitely be going back in the summer, but it allows Hamilton to put a player that wouldn't necessarily be getting first team football with them. He's just coming back from injury, and it's good for Sean as well. He's going to get first team football at a good competitive level. A lot of good teams in League One. Like I said, it is competitive, it's quite physical as well, so I think it's one of them loan deals that really benefits all three parties.
And one other bit of business was Lyle Cameron. I guess his loan deal had been cancelled or ended, whatever you want to put it, because he turned up on Montrose's social media saying that he's going to be there for the rest of the season. So again, it's a strange scenario between him and Danny Strachan. Officially, they were both obviously still on loan here. I think Danny's still officially on loan here as well, but for whatever reason, not getting used. But at least Lyle has now got himself a club and will get game time.
Yeah, really pleased for Lyle.
It's a likeable guy as well.
Yeah,
we've spoken to him numerous times as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, same situation with Danny. These are guys that need to be playing first team football. And for whatever reason that Lyle and Danny weren't in the squad, I think it's got to be resolved. Thankfully for Lyle, he's got his resolve. He'll now play for Montrose. I'm sure he'll go on to have a really good end of the season. Hopefully we get the same sort of qualification on Danny, whether he'll be back in the Peterhead fold or whether he'll be recalled to Dundee to potentially go out on loan again. Whatever's going on behind the scenes, you want the players to be playing football. They're good players, and they deserve to be playing football, really.
Yeah, and unfortunately for Danny, he's only got a few hours left of the loan window, because that closes tonight. So unless something dramatic happens, unfortunately for him, I don't see him getting much game time between now and the end of the season, which is a shame really on him, through I guess no fault of his own.
Yeah, the nature of the complete ins and out of the background story, but to me there's a player here that's he was on loan, he's come back to Peterhead, could have had chances to go elsewhere, he's come back to Peterhead, and he's not getting used. I'm really disappointed for Danny. I think we've spoken to him as well, very likeable guy, got a lot of time for us, and I've got a lot of time for him, and hopefully, again, there's only a few hours left of the window, but hopefully there's some sort of clarification on what's happening with Danny.
We've got one game left of what we like to call the third quarter. Jim likes to say if we can get between 9 and 10 points per quarter, we should stand us in good stead. We've currently obviously got 28, so we're between that 27 and 30 mark, with one game still to go. But there's probably a lot of points out there that we've left behind.
Yeah, I think especially at Christmas time, that was the one for me. I said it before, maybe in East Fife and dropping points against Clyde from your 2-0 up. That is the sort of games that you don't want to come back to bite you. on the flip side, you know, we're taking points off Falkirk away from home, so swings and roundabouts. I know, like you said, Jim likes to break it down into the sections of the season. We've got the 28 points. You're hoping you can kick one and get a few more in the last quarter as well.
So we went to Queen's Park on Tuesday night. This is the final game of the third quarter, as we said. So we did win the last one 2-1. We've got it's a win each. This could be a tighter game again.
It's not going to be good football because the pitch at Fir Hill. I am aware that part of Thistle and Queen's Park are using it, so it's probably been used, I'd imagine, every weekend since the season started. But that's going to be tough to play good football on there. Might suit us in a way. I think Queen's like to get the ball in and play good football, but I think it's going to be challenging for both sides. So yeah, you need to try and get signed out for the game, hopefully.
Yeah, and again, it's difficult to kind of pinpoint any one team that's got a really good form. Welcome on to Cove, who have, unfortunately. But, you know, Queen's, a bit like everybody else, just seem to be struggling to try and kick on. You know, they beat Falkirk 6-0, and then they've drawn 7 out of the next 10 games, which is why they've found themselves just on the cusp of the playoffs, instead of being where I think a lot of the fans would expect them to be at the top end.
I think we're starting to see the teams that you'd expect to be in the top end maybe just feeling a little bit of pressure, because now the league's obviously completely settled down. It normally does after the the second period of the season. You tend to think how far you're roughly going to be based, and I think there's a lot of teams up there maybe just starting to feel the pressures and the expectation more from boards and fans. So I think that maybe plays a part as well, and a few teams dropping points that you wouldn't necessarily expect them to.
Yeah, and they've lost narrowly to promotion rivals Airdrie and Montrose recently as well. And one thing I have noticed as well is that they can't hold leads. So even though they maybe do go in front in these games, they just kind of see games out or kind of capitalise, which is resulting in those so many draws.
I think that maybe hasn't helped Queens lately is the pitch. No, at the start of the season, the pitch wouldn't have been nearly as bad as what it is. They can play that good football and get the wins, try and blow teams away. The fact that you can't maybe do that now, I think the team's sitting against them, maybe harder for them to break down. She said 7 draws in our last 10. So they're struggling for a wee bit of form. Hope that continues on Tuesday.
We think Russell McLean's going to be a doubt, obviously, through his injury on Saturday. Ryan Duncan probably be out as well, still through the COVID things. But what we've mentioned before is, you know, Nia Payne should just be able to slot nicely into that McLean role, and probably have maybe Jack Brown on the right hand side. But there are options there, and they're very good options, and that Jim will have.
Yeah, you've talked about Jordan Brown on the bench as well. So we said before that it's a big squad with a lot of quality in it, and this is the time that you need to use that quality when players are a doubt and kind of play. You need to use your squad. I'm sure he will.
I'm going to probably jinx it here, but I can't see it being a high scoring game purely based on the fact that Queens have only scored 39 goals in their 26 games, and then compared to that we've scored 34, so it probably going to be a high scoring game. But on the other end as well, Queens have got the second best defence record in the league as well. They've only conceded 26 and 26, so you know, if we can get ourselves in front early on, like we have done in the last couple of games, I think that should stand us in good stead.
Yeah, if you're still playing your bingo card, it's a cliche, don't concede early, but it'd be brilliant if we could get in front early. It gives us something to hang on to, it gives you that confidence as well.
And then obviously we've got another home game. Just randomly thought it was, because it was Saturday, was it home again? But no,
it's not February.
It's another game on Saturday, this time away at Cove. I get this is probably going to be probably tougher than the Queen's game on the Tuesday. Cove are 5 clear now of Airdrie. Incredibly, they're 17 unbeaten. 16th October was the last time anybody's beaten them in the league.
So they're due a beating. If you're being the optimist, they're due to get beat somewhere. Could it be us? Yeah. Hey, it's going to be a tricky game. Our form against Cove isn't the greatest, as people know. But like I said, they've gotten beaten at some point. And again, you sometimes when you can see that finishing line, teams just start to hit a little bit of wobble. I'm trying to look at the positive spin on it. But yeah, like I said a couple of weeks ago, that's why I think the game's like so, you know, in December from your nape picking up wins, because we're now away to go away to Queens and away to Cove, struggle to see where you're going to pick up, you know, a win. But the fact that we've got a draw against Falkirk and beating Dumbarton gives us a massive confidence going into them.
You mentioned about the teams at the top maybe just struggling to get over the line. You know, COVID, they've won 9 in a row and then they've had 3 draws. They've beaten Falkirk, but then they've also drawn against Alloa, and they were 2-0 down against Alloa. You know, so yeah, that is, yeah, 17 unbeaten, but there are a lot of games there that they probably maybe could have won, they could have lost. But so they're in a strange position. Okay, they won the league last season, two seasons ago, fairly comfortably. But they're in a position now where they could go higher. You know, they're 5 points clear. There's maybe that kind of possibility of them not thinking that the league's already done and dusted, because there's still 9 games left. But you know, we maybe just catch them off guard slightly.
Yeah, like I said, teams sometimes just they see the finishing line and struggle a wee bit. The fact, as you said, they've got that 5 point gap. You know, supporters and players, you know, they're going to be looking, thinking, right, the league's almost done. You'd feel that there may be an Airdrie defeat and a Cove win on the same weekend for almost getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
But as we came in this division, it doesn't quite work out like that. So from their point of view, they've got to be switched on. But I'm sure that Paul Hartley will be drumming that into the players.
Yeah, and then we'll enter the final quarter. The last 9 games of the season, and we've got 4 at home, 5 away. They're tough games, no matter how you look at it. You know, we've still to play everybody once, so you know, trying to get as many points as we can over these 2 games is going to be key.
Yeah, I think after that it's Montrose at home, is it?
Mm.
Yeah, again, another team pushing at the top end of the table. It's a tricky couple of games. Like you said, we've got to play everybody once going into the last 9 games, but I don't think they get much trickier than the 3 teams we've got coming up. So yeah, trying to pick up a point here and there, and then you're assessing it again in 2 weeks' time. But be really good if we can go into the Queen's game and get something from that and just keep our momentum going out on being, you know, unbeaten.
Yeah, so we're incredibly entering the last period of the season of a season that's been uninterrupted, so long may that continue. But it's going to be, as we said, tough. And it's, I think somebody had said as well, you know, every point's a prisoner at this stage as well.
Yeah, and every team will be like that. They'll be looking to pick up points, whether it be the bottom end of the table or the top. Even the teams in the middle, they're just trying to, you know, steer clear of any relegation worries, but also just having that one eye on, you know, what's happening up above them. It is a division that we've said numerous times, anybody can beat anybody, and with it only being 10 teams, you know, like we've said before, you're only 2 wins away from looking up, and but your 2 defeats and you're looking down. So it makes for an exciting end to the season.
Yep, so that'll do it for this week then. Do hope you've enjoyed it, as always. My thanks goes to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again next week, so until then, on behalf of myself, Colin Byers, and Martin Smith, thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.